So I've got an idea for a kid's book. Based on a trip.
Every comic does a kid's book these days, don't they? And then like Gwyneth Paltrow did one and Madonna did one.
Andy Lee did one, in, you know, all around the world, different languages.
I know.
He gave me the full set in one go.
Did he?
Yeah. So yeah, they signed and everything.
For your grandkid.
Yeah.
Well, it's apparently a good book. I haven't read his.
It's a good idea. It's a great I didn't have him read it either. But
I did a kid's book. Before I had kids, I did two.
How could you? You're not qualified.
No, well, plenty of people without kids write kids' books. Okay. But I did one called Raised by Frank about a cat that raises two kids. And Kieran did the drawings.
I'd love to see it. Mind you, we had the incident with your last book that you gave me and you found it in an op shop.
That's it.
After I was robbed.
You were robbed.
And they've stole it and tried to make money out of it.
I can't believe the heroin addict who broke into your house chose my book to steal.
Yeah. It was the only thing he stole.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, so did you see Rebecca Judd had a very similar incident where she had one of the other, what do they call them? The wives of the footballers, the wags.
Wags.
He's put out a new range of activewear, and then she modeled it on Instagram with her daughter, and then a lady found it in the Brighton op shop near her house. And the woman was really offended.
Ooh, what's this?
But, I mean, whatever, who cares? Like,
yeah.
Someone like that would get a lot of stuff given to her. You've only got so much room, and give it to someone that needs it, like my book.
Good point.
You read my book, you threw it out, and I bought it.
Throw it out. I passed it on to people who may well want to read it.
Exactly.
The book.
I do that with books all the time.
Yeah, you give me books all the time, and you don't want them back. Mind you, once they're read, you go, now it's going to sit on the shelf. What's the point of that? It needs to spread its love.
Especially a comedy book, which is just sort of a throwaway reading the toilet book. Just get it out.
Read in the toilet.
I read in the toilet. Why not?
No. Don't read in the toilet.
All those books you have lent me that I've given back have been in the toilet. No, they haven't. I wouldn't do that to you.
Anyway, so you want to hear my story?
Yeah, the kid's book? Yeah. Hungry Caterpillar, it's been done. Cat in the Hat's been done. And don't do any racist stuff because you'll get cancelled.
Oh, okay. Now, I think this is pretty safe. It's going to say based on a true story. And maybe you can help me write it now, but I'll give you the premise. Okay, it's called "The Day I Cried in IKEA."
Oh, I like it.
Because it has a ring to it.
It's good, but also, is there problems with IKEA being a massive multinational company?
So I can't use the word IKEA.
Well, okay, we'll keep going, but I don't know. Is it
your lawyer hat on?
Yeah, is it a kid? I'm not a lawyer, but
no,
it's not a kid.
It's me.
Oh, it's an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went with my partner to look for a Urkelstrom and then...
So you'll know that it... Yeah, so you'll know that it's... Is that what the title is?
Oh, I don't know. I think The Day I Cried in IKEA is a good, great title.
Okay, let's just go... That's a working title.
It's a great title.
Okay, so you want to hear the story?
Yeah.
Yeah. At IKEA with Selena, wandering around, and then I hear, "Hi, Glenn." And I do that thing where I sprint around and I see someone. I know that I know them, but I have no idea where I know them from.
Yeah.
And at that point, you've got to do two things. Go through the files where I know them from, supermarket, chemist, butcher, masseuse.
Show business. Makeup.
Friend of.
Wardrobe.
I'm going through the files and going through. And then.
Sex worker.
And I'm just.
Come on. You're not a liberal politician. All right.
And then at the same time, you've got to try and keep the conversation going.
Oh, you know what I do? Do you want my tip?
Okay, love it.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, when was the last time I saw you?
Oh, yeah. Take me back.
And they go, I was on the Spicks and Specks, remember? And you go, okay, it's the makeup person from Spicks and Specks. That's what I do. Because often Kieran will go, why didn't you introduce me? And I'd say, I don't know their name.
Well, I gave a tip to someone once. I said, ask them. If you can't remember their name, get them to spell their surname for you. It's a really bad tip. Really bad tip. Get them to spell. Yeah. They go, how you get to spelling the surname? I don't know. And then they go, how do I spell my surname? Smith.
I reckon my tip. I haven't seen your phrase. When was the last time I saw you? Was it at the? And they go, the bang at Glenn's barbecue.
Yeah.
So what happened?
What happened was she goes, how's Torty?
Oh, the cat.
Torty is my cat.
Oh, that's the vet.
So it's the vet
or the assistant,
the nursing. She's a nurse at the vet. I, you know, used to bring Tordy in.
Yeah,
and I got to know him really well. How is he?
Oh,
no. Was Tordy a girl? Tordy was a girl. How, yeah, that's sad. Tordy, well, sadly, we had to have...
Tordy died.
Well, I didn't say... I said died, and then I said we had him put down.
Yeah.
Because she was 19.
Yeah.
And then she... And
God
then,
help me. I was only 19. Glenn Selina saw the queue at the vet. It was a long way for Tordy.
So you reckon there's a spin-off album.
With Red Gum.
Yeah. So then she starts, she goes, of all, because I love Tordy.
And you love your cat. Yeah, I met Tordy.
Yeah, Tordy's beautiful. Yeah. Burmese, tortoiseshell. Great hence cat. Hence the name Tordy. Tortoiseshell.
To quote Kitty Flanagan, you can't say you hate cats until you've had a cat.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And you can hate other people's cats, but you tend to not hate your own. So.
And hate the feral ones, fair enough.
She said, of all the cats that ever came in, Tordy was the most beautiful.
So,
some heartstrings went then. And she said, Tordy was so beautiful, I got a tortoiseshell because tortoiseshells are notoriously aggressive.
Mm.
And Tordy was. Tordy used to go up and down the street.
I remember him.
Beating up other cats, bringing their collars home. And she was only small. She wasn't a big cat.
She used to get on the couch and hit people on the head.
Yeah. Nick Murray, producer of Jigsaw, who the producer of Bondi Rescue, was sitting in my lounge room. She ran down the hallway, smacked, kicked him in the head and ran off again. Never.
And he's a lawyer. Be careful.
He hates cats, though. Yeah. Cats know when you hate them.
Yeah.
So then she said, I love Tordy so much,
yeah.
I got a tortoiseshell in memory of. And then I'm fighting back.
The tears.
The voice is cracking a little bit. And then she went on about Tordy a little bit longer, and I had to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'm just going to start, you know, having a bit of a cry. And I care. Luckily, we're in the couch section, so I could go and sit down and have a little bit of a break.
Before then.
And then I went into the bathroom section and just checked in the mirror, just wiped my eyes a little bit.
And used the toilet.
And then went into the food section and bought some of those balls in a bag.
The meatballs.
Make myself feel better.
So that's the whole story? That's the whole story for the kids' book?
Well,
that's it? So it's one of those, you see, you know, that could
be. You don't need much of a story for a kids' book. Let's be
honest.
No,
you don't. Not for a picture book. But it's going to be one of those issues-based kids' books. Because there's always, you look now, there's like, my dad, you know, there's a kid book on, say, my dad didn't come back from the war. I'm living with a single parent. I'm in a wheelchair. There's all sorts of issues books for kids these days, which is great because, I think you're going to be the cat dying book.
Dealing with death.
Yeah, dealing with death. So when little Jenny's cat, you know, Soxy dies, they'll go, we'll get that Glenn Robbins book for her.
Because she'll realize, and now, you know.
And explain it.
Yeah, and then the cat lives on.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What lives on in their memory. Yeah.
Yes.
So you know what, though? Maybe you need to build up to that moment. You go, the day I cried in IKEA, had they run out of meatballs? No.
Oh, you're smart. You're
flip,
sweet.
Flip the page. Did I get lost with all those arrows on the ground and start crying? No.
Oh, this is good. So you stay off the play.
That's
good.
Did I go looking for a unsen flop and get an unde hop instead? No.
Did someone run a trolley into my ankle?
Yes. No. Yeah,
no.
Did I take the flat pack home and get extremely angry when I couldn't put it together? No.
Did I nearly have an argument but not quite have an argument with my partner because we couldn't decide on what colour the vase would be?
No. But then it's being flippant about a kind of a serious issue. But then it's only a cat.
Wow, you really have, you're good.
I should be the new Dr. Seuss, you know.
Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave. And maybe you need to rhyme. Like, I went to IKEA with my wife. I knew then I was in for strife.
We did a thing the other day where we went against the current. Have you ever been against the current?
I do it all the time. So my partner goes, I want to go to IKEA. I go, we go and park. I go and park in the loading bay.
Oh, smart.
And then get out and walk through the cash registers.
Yep. Swimming upstream. You're like a salmon, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are.
You're dodging. And there are people coming around corners with trolleys. They look at you going, you know you're going up a one-way street here. I know what I'm doing.
Well, if you know what you're getting, that's a good method. That's what I hate about IKEA, is it has to be such a long process. Yeah. It really annoys me.
Oh, yeah. But that's the whole trick of it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
But once you get to know the shortcuts, there's a couple of little shortcuts where you go.
There are a few.
Yeah, we can go straight through to storage. Let's go. Come
there
on.
There are a few.
Yeah. So anyway, let's just say if there are publishers out there, mm-hmm. I'm willing to, you know, we'll maybe get your partner.
To illustrate. To
illustrate it. And I reckon we'll get you to do the audio version.
No, you've got it. If it's your book, you do it. I don't want to do the audio version.
I just think your voice is really conducive to that.
Nah.
Yeah. Nah. And you can, yeah. I'll be tawdy.
Oh, you went,
So anyway.
And we'll eventually be a movie with Tom Cruise playing you.
See how little ideas become big ideas.
Matt Damon. Yeah, I'm doing your movie, The Day I Cried in IKEA. Yeah.
Speaking of little ideas that have become big ideas,
this podcast.
And here comes the music to remind us what it's all about.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast. Somehow Related, we get two topics. We're going to work out how they're related. Let's get the topics. I believe it's not IKEA and Glenn Robbins.
Well,
we've had IKEA before.
Have we?
Yeah. Remember IKEA and something, and they were both things you can't call your child in Sweden. They were both like IKEA and Hitler or something like that. Yeah. We always get Hitler. We're like SBS. Hitler's always popping up. But what are they, Sam?
Native American Indians and earwax.
Earwax. Earwax.
God, this is weird.
Earwax is...
it's something that of all...
Interesting.
Is this the smallest topic we've ever had? Earwax?
Earwax. Have we ever done, boogers? Boogers is next week. Snot, yeah. Earwax is weird because I often, like I've been out and someone has said, I've been out somewhere.
And someone said, earwax coming out of your ear?
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing because I obviously don't clean them enough.
Well, you shouldn't clean them.
No.
Their ears are self, I mean, if it was a product, it would say on the packet, self-cleaning.
I'm cleaning mine now. I'm seeing if there's any in there to show you. There's some. Look at that.
Oh, that's. Dear listener.
Isn't it?
Dave just pulled his headphones back, poked his ear.
And I got some earwax.
And he pulled earwax out.
It's not a lot, though, is it? It's only a pinch.
I must admit, I am guilty because I have surfer's ear. Do you know what that is?
Well, you surf a lot and you get water in it?
What happens is with surfers, because you have cold water and cold air going in there, the bone grows up to protect the ear. So the bone grows, it's like putting a little wall up, a little dam up.
Yeah.
So the water goes on the other side of the dam and sits in there.
Right.
And then if an infection sets up and you get a lot of pain. So you've got to put stuff in there. So I have a little bit of a habit of putting an earbud.
Yeah, an earbud thing, yeah.
Just to take a little bit of the moisture out. But then I whack it with Aqua Ear.
Oh, Aqua Ear.
Aqua Ear, which goes.
Have you had your ears cleaned out?
No.
Oh, that's like an out of body experience. So you go to the doctor's and he makes you sort of put your head on the table and then he sticks an injection into your ear. Oh, it's full on.
Does it feel like it's in right inside you?
Yeah. You lose your balance and stuff and you're like, because sometimes you've got so much stuff in there. One of my kids has had it too. You've got to get it cleaned out. And it's really.
And how do they know that you? How do you know it's just blocked up?
Or well, you go to a doctor and they say you got to get your ear cleaned out because you go, I'm having problems hearing, or I can't remember what happened with me, but and all this stuff pours out. Oh, it's disgusting. You think my little bit of earwax is disgusting?
But how much would come out? What do you call it? A thimbleful?
No. Bigger than like half a cup.
What?
All stuff. Well, I mean, they put liquid in, so who knows what's coming out.
Oh, and it's all coming out like soup, is it?
Yeah.
Is it sucked out, or do you just lean over and it all comes out?
That's a good question. What happened? What did happen when they did it to me?
Did you hold it like a tray under your ear and then lean over?
I think they did hold a thing under my ear.
It's interesting you should say, because all your balance stuff is in there. And apparently, if you have an infection, if you go and see a special,
that
you have to do this movement with your head where you go forward, back, turn, and apparently the room just spins, but it fixes your problem.
There's nothing worse than vertigo. When you get vertigo, No. When you just get vertigo, it's an awful, it's awful feeling.
Awful feeling. Have you had it?
I've been on stage and had it, yeah.
Well, it's probably a side effect of anxiety.
Well, I've only ever had it when I've been on a catwalk. So,
because you've been too high up and then you've lost
too narrow.
It's not relative.
Did a high school in, where was it?
And you got on there.
Ararat.
Did you have to grab for the floor, did you?
And it was like in the classic school hall, but they go, oh, we've built a little catwalk for you out into the crowd.
Whoa.
And so they had like a normal stage and had a catwalk, and it was quite narrow and it was quite high up. And so soon I just kept grabbing onto the mic stand and like, because I could have fallen off.
Oh. And did you admit to what was happening?
No, I think I kept going.
Kept going, but awful.
Because it kind of passes.
And then nausea can follow.
Oh.
Yeah, and then projectile vomiting into the audience. How was Dave O'Neill? Oh. I don't know whether the vomiting was meant to be part of the act, but yeah, that was a bit weird. And then he fell into the audience, which is really weird. What about candles? They put candles in your ear, don't they?
Oh, I've had that done before too.
God, you've had it all. How does that work? Does that heat it up or something?
Me and Kate Lambrook were filming something for the Comedy Channel. We went along to a New Age Expo, and it was great. And every nut bar was there selling, candles
and crystals.
And this guy had ear candles, and he made me lie down, and he lit the candle and stuck it in my ear. I think it works.
You're a person that knows what comes out.
Oh.
So did you get a result? Did something come out?
No, I think we did it quickly because I'm like, let's just do it. Let's just get
Have you got a quick candle? Can you do like a birthday cake, mate? Yeah.
But looking at my earwax, it's always a yellowy orange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Earwax. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, no, I really don't want to look at it.
Whereas your belly button fluff's blue, more bluish kind of. Should I check if there's anything in there? Let's not see if there's anything in there. There probably is with me. No, come up. Still got the earwax. So earwax, I assume, serves a purpose. It must serve a purpose. It must. Is it?
Well, it's got to be. It's a waxy thing. So it stops. What does wax do?
It stops water.
So it stops moisture buildup. So it would stop infection.
Mm.
And I mean, it's such a beautiful warm hole.
Yeah.
Infections go. Oh, I love this. I mean, I've had I've had surfers here, and your hearing goes to.
Oh, really?
What did you say?
It's like the teacher in Charlie Brown. Kind of.
And that thing where you shake your head?
Yes, after you go swimming.
Sometimes, but when you've got an infection, no shaking.
Oh.
And then you go and get in, and then they go, especially if you're in another country, they go, you can't fly with this.
That's right.
Because your head will explode.
Oh.
In business class.
Oof, no good. It's like a movie.
That's really embarrassing if it explodes in business class.
Ear pain is very, very,
very
painful.
Very painful.
Awful. Awful.
Earwax, I dare say, it's there just to protect from water getting in there, for other things getting in, and infections setting up. I can't think why else it would be there.
Well, let's talk about Native Americans. I don't know what the connection is there between earwax and Native Americans, but have you met a Native American?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I haven't. I would love to.
Okay.
Have you?
Yeah, I interviewed some when I was back on Triple R, the community station, with the aforementioned Kate Lambrook, and three guys came in, and they were promoting some kind of music festival.
Yeah.
Gee, how interesting. And they bought drums and stuff and played some music.
So
good. And did a bit of... Dum, dum, dum,
dum. Is it inappropriate that we impersonate it? Probably isn't.
Oh, well.
Is it inappropriate?
Well,
can I do it?
Here you go. I'll go, boom, boom. It was really, really impressive.
And it's very similar to all of that, like the Eskimo, that region. They all have it's something. As soon as that'd be great to have some native for our think music. I would love to hear
Native American
war music.
Oh yeah,
war music. Really, really.
God, you must have shat yourself if you were a cowboy, and you were just. You know, you came over the hill and there was like 20 Native Americans on
horses.
That
wasn't that the Battle of Bighorn?
Well, yeah. Well, there were a lot of battles, weren't there?
Wasn't that the one where the Americans turned up and they went, we'll take you on? And there was like a few hundred of them and there was like 5,000 Indians and they won.
Yeah.
The Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Bighorn, that would have been some bloke or
some
place.
Some guy, isn't it? Oh, is it a... I don't know, I don't know enough about Native Bighorn, American.
Does that sound like a battle Bighorn. Of Bighorn? It sounds like a place.
It sounds like a place.
Probably a valley somewhere where they've got together and gone, we'll take you on.
Should we ask Sam? We should ask Sam. Yeah. Let's ask Sam. Sam?
Yes.
Battle of Bighorn, is that a place?
Place, because it does also sound like a native chief name. Chief
Bighorn. Yeah, Chief Bighorn.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it could be. Hang on. Okay, Sam, what is the answer?
Colonel George Custer confronted thousands of fierce Sioux and Cheyenne warriors on June 25, 1876, near the Little Bighorn River in present-day Montana. The Battle of the Little Bighorn, also called Custer's Last Stand, marked the most decisive Native American victory and the worst U.S. Army defeat in the Long Plains Indian War. The demise of Custer and his men outraged many white Americans and confirmed their image of the Indians as wild and bloodthirsty.
Ah, so Bighorn named after a creek or river.
Thanks, Sam. So that's what you do. You go, you, me, shelter sheds after school.
Exactly, on the oval. On the oval. It was near Bighorn.
Bighorn, and little did they know, Bighorn must have had some sort of place where you could hide because they just came, and again, I don't want to be inappropriate, but didn't they go,
yeah, that's like a war cry.
Yeah.
Yaha! Oh, man, that'd be so scary.
So scary.
Oh, it'd be so scary.
And fair enough.
Yeah. Well, they're invading the country, so.
Christopher, when did they come? I read somewhere that they came like 13,000 years ago from, there was a connection with Siberia or something, and there was a land bridge or a glacier, and they were able to cross over and go, oh, let's go live down here for a while. So they were first. Then Christopher Columbus came along and went, yeah, not bad.
We'll settle here.
Settle here. And did they ever say, have they ever said sorry?
I don't know about that. I have no idea about that, whether that's happened. That's happened in Australia when Kevin Rudd did it in Parliament.
But Howard wouldn't do it.
No, Howard wouldn't do it. No, God, no.
So, hey, here's a question.
Mm.
Name some tribe names.
Oh, Sioux?
Yep. Cherokees?
Apache?
That's a bikey gang, isn't it?
Comancheros.
Comancheros. But that is an Indian.
It could be.
And the Navajo?
Oh, the Navajo, yeah. Yeah.
Apache, Cherokees.
Somewhere with an L. There's an L one. Oh, I don't know. But, you know, we mainly know about Native Americans from their depiction in movies and TV shows, don't we?
Which is just deplorable.
I mean,
when we were kids, they were the bad guys.
Yeah, we played Cowboys Indians.
Yeah, and the Indians are the bad guys. You're going, hang on. And little do we know how inappropriate and wrong that was.
Oh, well, no one told us.
No one told us. Because what were the shows that were Indians were bad, like F-Troop?
F-Troop. They're kind of like the comic relief in F-Troop, weren't they, by memory?
Bonanza? Were they like in Bonanza?
I can't remember.
Maybe they wouldn't know that. Yeah, they were. Yeah.
But then they started like in the 80s and the 90s, movies where the Indians were the heroes too. There started to be a bit of that going on too.
Yeah.
It was more about the Native American issues. So, and now there's TV shows where they're, you know, portrayed in a more kind of understanding way. What's that great series with Kevin Costner, and he's on the ranch, and he's up against the Native Americans who, because you know he's got this ranch and they want his land back.
Dancing
with the Wolves. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, no, it's not that, but no, it's like a new
is
version.
It Dancing or Dances with Wolves? Because I called it Dancing. I called it Dancing with, my friend Stilson said, it's not Dancing with Wolves, it's Dances with Wolves. Because there he is.
That was huge, that movie.
Great film. What was it about again?
I have no idea. Did he hang out with the Wolves? Kevin Costner?
He must have, but what about? Yeah, you want to have a look?
Sam?
Yes.
What was Dances with? Because remember there was Waterworld. He also did Waterworld.
Yeah.
I can't. I remember what that was about. That the world was covered in water.
I saw it. I saw Waterworld at Universal Studios when all the boats were, you know, all the flames and everything. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Anyway.
It is a film adaptation of the 1988 book of the same name by Michael Blake that tells the story of Union Army Lieutenant John J. Dunbar, who travels to the American frontier to find a military post, and of his dealings with a group of Lakota. When Dunbar is awakened one day by a buffalo stampede, he notifies the Sioux and joins them in a successful buffalo hunt, and he celebrates with them afterward. Dunbar is later offered a home with the Sioux, and he is given the name Dances with Wolves. At the end of Dances with Wolves, Dunbar leaves his home with the Sioux to meet the U.S. Army, which wants to hang him as a traitor.
And the other big one for me, I don't know whether you would have seen this, Little Big Man.
Oh, no.
Dustin Hoffman, where he was.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where he was taken as a child and brought up as an Indian.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Yellowstone, that's the Kevin Costner show that's on Stan at the moment. Yeah. Have you seen Yellowstone? About him as a rancher?
Is it good?
Oh, it's great.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's really good, but he comes across, the Native Americans go up against him, and the Native Americans are running a casino, and they want his land. But it is really.
But that, the current status now is that they're similar to here. They do have land rights, and it's hopefully being handled appropriately.
We're no experts.
I remember Marlon Brando gave back his Academy Award for what happened at Wounded Knee.
Yeah,
because what happened? I think Wounded Knee was getting them back for.
It was a massacre.
Bighorn.
Yeah, it was a massacre.
Fool me once. Fool me, whatever that saying is. Yeah. You won't get me again. And it was a massacre.
Right? Yeah, of the Native Americans.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, very tragic.
Well, let's have some Native American music as thinking music.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let's hear it.
Just something that makes us in our guts feel like we're going to go to war.
Yeah, here we go.
With the good guys.
Yeah. Well, I was right there.
I wonder if it'd be interesting to know what that meant, what they were singing about.
Yeah, true, true.
Would be funny if it was, we are the Navy. Like
we are the old fashioned Navy Blues.
Where the Indians
to
fight.
Where the only Well, like the Maori haka, it's done to intimidate probably and establish who they are.
Yeah. So...
All right, well, let's
this is interesting.
I'm going to have a guess. Native Americans don't have earwax. Bang.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Exactly. Oh,
we can both say it.
Well, maybe they have a different type of earwax. I don't know. Maybe everyone else in the world has. Maybe they don't have earwax. Maybe they have something like snot.
Oh.
And it's more runny. And we have something that's a bit more waxy.
Yeah, maybe. All right, well, what's the answer, Sam?
Native Americans have dry earwax as opposed to wet or moist earwax. Dry earwax, typical in East Asians and Native Americans, is light-colored and flaky, while earwax found in Caucasian and African groups is darker, wetter and, a new study shows, smellier.
Wow, that's interesting.
I think you brought that up earlier in the show. You put your finger in your ear.
Mine was wet,
and it was wet.
Yeah.
So you're not a Native American.
I'm not.
No.
Didn't think I was.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Would it be inappropriate for us to work out what our Indian names could be?
Native American names would be. What would yours be?
Yeah.
Well, there's that old joke, isn't there?
Like, tell me.
I name my son the first thing I saw. You are beautiful river. Yeah. You are mountains high, and you are, what language warning? Two dogs fucking.
Tell me, why do you ask this mysterious question? Two dogs fucking.
Yes.
A joke.
Anyway, I don't know.
That's a good joke. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Oh, what would you be? What would you be? Dave running.
Running, not running, not running. No, 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 no. I'd be more lying. Lying big man. You need to see the lying big man. Not in terms of telling lies, but lying down a lot.
I know. Had something to do with my astuteness, my hairiness.
Oh, yeah. Hairy, hairy. Harry, Harry, Harry Tallman, Harry,
Harry Tallman,
Harry Tallman.
Yeah,
you go see Harry Tallman. He'll sort that out.
Yeah, yeah. You must speak to Harry Tallman. Yeah. Come, what's your name again?
I'm lying couchman, lying the lying couchman over there. He knows.
Sorry if this is offensive. It's not. Yeah, meant to be sorry. Offensive. It's not. I know sorry. It's inappropriate, but that's a good thing, isn't it? To name people after what they, you know.
It's true.
If you're an accountant, you'd be boring man.
Boring glass man, glasses man.
Banker man.
Tradie man, you fix it man. You fix it man. Yeah. Well, they used to, your surname used to reflect what you did. You know what I mean? So if you were like, you know, so-and-so carpenter or wood or something, you work with wood or, you know, in the fields, you know? So.
Yep. And what I'm thinking is that, I don't know whether this is too much to ask, but could you collect your earwax for us for a while and maybe put it in a jar and then we can photograph it and see what it looks like? It might look like President Lincoln, or it might look like
Jesus. I find Jesus in my ear.
I reckon if we Googled earwax that looks like people or looks like something, you'd find something, wouldn't you?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe it's the Southern Island of New Zealand or maybe it's a dash hound dog or that's a bit of a fun thing to do.
Mm.
And if kids are listening, don't go poking things
in your ear. Ears. That's right.
As the doctor said to me, don't put anything in your ear bigger than your elbow.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, I went, I'm 56. I don't think.
I'm not a child.
I'm not a child. I don't think you need to tell me that one. But I'm an earbud guy and I shouldn't be, and I'm sure it's to my own detriment.
Yeah, don't do it.
I'm pushing it. I'm pushing my wax the wrong way. And plus, earbuds, they're one use and throw them away. Not good for the environment.
No.
So I'm guilty on so many levels
you've
here.
Ruined a lot of things.
Yeah.
You've ruined a lot of things.
Okay, not a note to finish on. But
what's it over there? It's two dogs, Mark. Classic.